You know, Randy, one thing I've been thinking about a lot lately mm-hmm. is in looking back at the bourbon boom that we kind of went through, it's behind us. I'm beginning to think more and more that it wasn't really about the whiskey. Mm-mm. And if you want to know the truth about what the bourbon boom was probably all about, then stick around.
Didn't want to say that this whiskey boom was not about the whiskey.
I know, it's hard to say.
It's hard to say because bourbon is so freaking American.
Right, yeah.
It's more American than baseball and apple pie.
Absolutely.
I mean, it played an integral role in the development of our beautiful land.
It's been involved in many wars.
Many wars. Used to be part of your pay when you were a soldier.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It used to be part of my pay when I first started this podcast with Randy.
It used to be part of Wes's pay. It used to be that whiskey was currency.
Yes, it was.
You used to be able to pay for your goods with whiskey.
You know, if there was an apocalypse, you probably still could.
You probably could.
Yeah.
I actually told Lindsay that valuable. When she got nervous about apocalypse, I'm like, bro, we are good.
We're good. I can get whatever I want.
I can get whatever I want with this whiskey.
Yep.
We're going to be welcome wherever we go. Yeah. So, you know, whiskey, it's you want to look back on it if you truly love bourbon as the Native American spirit and you want to believe bourbon made it happen.
Right.
But I think at this point, the hard truth is... That's not true.
Yeah. And not to say that there weren't people involved in the bourbon boom who weren't in it for the actual brown
whiskey,
spirit.
Right,
was.
Yeah.
But there was the large majority of the people, I think, that were just about the FOMO, right? They mm-hmm. they saw something taking off. They were stuck in their houses on pandemic mode, and they're like, I need something to get involved in. Bourbon sounds fun. I'm getting checks in the mail from the government for doing nothing. Let me just spend it on whiskey, right? Mm-hmm. And so people started chasing. They started, the whiskey industry took off. The boom happened. And everybody involved in that wasn't really chasing the whiskey because they loved the whiskey itself. They were chasing it because they didn't want to miss out.
Yeah, and there was kind of an attention economy
right.
that developed, especially in all of these online forums. Mm-hmm. And bourbon almost became a form of social currency that mm-hmm. if you had the right stuff and you were being invited to the right things and yep. whatnot, that you would get validation and status and eventually visibility.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And have you ever heard of the collector bug?
I am a recipient of that. I was born with it.
I've been bit by the collector bug.
I've been
bug,
bit
huh?
by it, yeah.
And so the collector bug was on full rampage during the pandemic as well, right? There was the bug going around that mm-hmm. people were collecting bottles, not again because of what was in the bottle. They just wanted to put them up on a shelf as a trophy, so to speak, and say, I've got this Pappy. I've got the BTAX. I've got the full lineup. And so they were finding whatever bottle lined up in the system next. Check it off the list. Now I'm chasing this one. And it wasn't because they've tried that whiskey and really loved it. Mm-hmm. It was because they wanted to fill the collection with trophies.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And there was social status that came with that.
Absolutely.
You know, and then there was a backlash against that. Of people, if they saw your collection and most of your beautiful bottles were not open, you know, there'd be a bunch of people that would, someone would say something and everyone would glob on.
Yeah.
And be like, have you tried tasting your whiskey? And,
yeah.
You know,
that's always
stuff.
The first comment, right? When you show a picture of your collection of a couple hundred bottles, everybody's like, well, how many are opened?
Uh-huh.
Well, my collection, most of them were. But yeah, there's a lot of pretty neat little museums going on around the world of nice bottles, but never intending to open them and join from what they were.
Yeah. And there was, you know, in that attention economy, there was some online behavior that I think was probably not the best for whiskey or community.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
It was about being louder. You know, it was about, you know, getting out there and putting your face in front of everyone else, sometimes to the exclusion of others. And let's face it, one of the major contributors to, you know, the bourbon boom was flipping.
And I hated it.
Yeah.
And I... Not that I've never sold a bottle, okay? I don't want anybody jumping the comment, oh, you've never sold a bottle? Yes, I've sold a bottle. But there's a difference between selling a bottle of whiskey and flipping a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
The flippers, man, they were at the stores early. They were lining up, and everybody's like, well, it's fair
game.
They're
bribing people at the store. They're following trucks. Yeah.
They've got connections everywhere, and they're going in with a facade like, I'm a whiskey lover, and the person sells them the bottles. And then they turn around and they may not even get in their car yet and have it sold.
Right.
You know what I mean? They've already got people lined up, ready to sell that and flip that bottle for a profit. And it drove up whiskey prices in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But it also ticked off a lot of people who really wanted to enjoy that bottle for themselves, who didn't get a chance to buy it because the guy who got it right before them is the guy that sold it to somebody else.
Yeah, so let's face it. You know, if you are a whiskey drinker,
mm-hmm.
right, and you have a full-time job, you have responsibilities at the house, you have kids, they have activities, whatever, and you're trying to decide how you're going to spend your time, you're never going to be willing to spend as much time as the person that doesn't give a crap about the whiskey. They care about the profit, mm-hmm. and that's how they are supplementing their income.
Yeah.
And in some instances, that's actually how they make all of their money.
Mm-hmm.
And so that created what I call false demand, because yeah. you weren't necessarily... You were placing yourself almost like a fourth tier or a fifth tier of expense between the supplier, the producer of the whiskey, and the inline consumer that's going to end up owning it. And all it did is increase costs. And if you had eliminated all of that, you would have had more bottles going to the hands of individuals that were actually going to drink it. And so, you know, now that we're seeing that shift, you know, we're not seeing as much FOMO.
Yep.
We're seeing... You know, the people who flip bottles, the margins are not as fat as they once were,
mm-hmm.
partially because some of the brands, especially like Wild Turkey, have gotten smart and they've raised the prices
yeah.
of their, you know, really highly sought after bottles. And they're the ones that are keeping that money. The wholesaler's making the money. The retailer's making the money. It's not going to the flipper like it once did.
And you know what else I think also happened that changed a lot of things for, mm-hmm. for flippers and the high demand bottles is... And we were big proponents of this during the boom, and obviously still now, is people began to realize over time that there are even better whiskeys out there that are on the bottom mm-hmm. shelves and at a much lower price. They're always there when you want them, that taste just as good, if not better.
Yeah.
And I think people started to learn that and realized, okay, you have to end up looking in the mirror and saying, all right, am I willing to go chase this bottle or find it on the secondary for $250, or am I willing to go find its younger brother on the shelf for $20
right.
and drink that instead?
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
And I think toward the end of the boom.
I think it's 29 here in Texas because we all know you're thinking about Knob Creek.
No, I was actually thinking of Benchmark.
Okay. Full proof. Yeah.
You got the Stag Juniors that were $250, $300 on the secondary.
Yeah.
And Benchmark Full Proof sitting on the shelf at 125 proof for $22 here. And yeah. It was like, dude, what are you guys doing? And so I remember you and I were big, like, Try this instead. And because during the boom, that's what you had to do. You had to find alternatives. Mm-hmm. And I think as people began to find alternatives, they began to realize the truth about whiskey is that whiskey's whiskey. You know what I mean? It's made, bourbon's made all the same way. You got some different variations, but you can find some really good stuff on the shelves. And I think people started to realize that. And that may have played a part in kind of settling things down.
A whiskey troll is a person who seeks negative attention and uses contrarian attitudes to derail civil discussion in online forums. They communicate in ways they never would face-to-face because they're keyboard warriors. Their only goal is to make other people feel inferior.
Hey guys, I'm new here. I just got my first Blanton's.
And trust me, you probably paid way too much.
I don't care much about the Blanton's, but nice.
There's no way that she didn't buy that at secondary. Idiot.
Oh, I know how you got that bottle.
So, are you sick and tired of the whiskey trolls ruining your fun online? Well, that's why we started Bourbon Real Talk Community. Congratulations. Let me know what you think when you open it up.
Hey, welcome to the group. Let me send you over a sample of Blanton's Gold and Straight from the Barrel. See how you like those.
I remember back to my first bottle of Blanton's. It was the birthday to my son, and we enjoy it every year on his birthday. Congrats.
So if you're looking to connect with some people online who aren't, head over to facebook.com and join Bourbon Real Talk Community today.
Yeah, so while it's sad that bourbon was not the true culprit behind all of this hype, what's left? What do you feel like is left?
Well, I think what's and we've mentioned this in previous episodes. I think what's left here at the end is what's left at the end of a lot of hype trains, right? Is you're left with the core OGs, like the people who are in it for the right reasons,
New people who aren't being motivated by all this fear of missing out.
Exactly,
they're actually falling in love with the spirit and the community, and so
you're left with the real ones.
You're left with real ones,
like people who really love bourbon, and that's why they're there. They enjoy it. They enjoy the camaraderie. They enjoy the community, because that's one thing that's not left is the community.
Yeah, the community's still there.
This community's still there. The camaraderie's still there.
And
the
bourbon did that.
The connection opportunity is still there. The high crazy prices, the hype train, the long lines, all that stuff may be fading out. But what's still left is the real people who really want a connection and use whiskey for what its intended purpose is, and that is to connect you with other people.
Sure. So there's better access. I feel like the community is more pure.
I do too.
The interactions are more legitimate. And we're, in my opinion, returning to what bourbon should be. So while
that's what it's all about.
While it's sad to say bourbon didn't really do it, what bourbon does do, it's still doing.
Yeah.
And that part is beautiful.
Yeah. So the conclusion, I guess, we would say is that while the boom wasn't about the bourbon necessarily, what's left is people who are really about the bourbon.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's special.
I love
this. This is the best time to get involved in bourbon. If you're new in the journey, you are getting in at the right time. All the fluff is gone, faded away. All the chaff is blown off in the wind, and we're left with the real stuff. And this is a great time to get connected. And speaking of connection, that's what we're all about. Mm-hmm. And we want to let you know of a few ways that you can get involved in what we're doing. Like if you're looking for a place to fit in, you're looking for some people to belong to and a group to say, hey, guys, I'm new in the journey, or I've been in it for a little while, struggling to find a place to fit in. This is the place for you, and you're invited. And there's a few ways that you can get involved here. One is the Patreon. Now, the Patreon, we don't just want your money. That's not what the Patreon is about. We pay our bills in other ways. Mm-hmm. The Patreon is a way for you to connect on a deeper level with other Patreon members and people a part of the community. And so you can do that by going to the link in the description. There are several options, packages that fit every budget. The names you see on the screen right now are just folks contributing at the top few tiers. But again, there's a ton of options. So go check that out if you're looking for another way to go deeper and support what we've got going on. Another thing you could do is go to bourbonrealtalk.com. There's tons of resources there, and there's tons of merchandise. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to support the cause here. And again, not support our bills, but support the movement of what we're trying to do online. And we've got that store is curated by whiskey lovers for whiskey lovers. So everything you're going to find there is, there's no non-essentials. It's all stuff that would work for any whiskey lover in your life,
yeah,
or for your own collection and needs and accessories. And so go check that out as well. It's all customizable. You'll see all that on the website as well. So that's one thing. And the last thing here, Randy is a real estate agent in Dallas, Houston, and now Austin. Those metroplexes, those communities are where he is specialized in real estate. So if you're looking to buy, sell, or invest in any of those markets, hit him up. He'd love to work with you. All three ways to support this channel are in the description. And the easiest thing to do, guys, just like the video. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to the channel.
That helps.
Ring the bell. Those all things are just easy, simple ways that no matter what you can do to support.
Yeah. And if this is your first time tuning in, we'd love to tell you we're really about that community connection. Yes, we talk about whiskey. Whiskey tastes great. But as we mentioned in this video, the truth is whiskey is meant to be shared. And I had lost a loved one to suicide in 2014. And as I started to analyze what happened in my brother's life that led to that, I realized he was missing some of the social connections. Mm. And I was at a place in my life where I was getting more involved in the whiskey enthusiast community. And honestly, it helped me make some new connections that allowed me to walk away from some toxic relationships in my life that were probably not healthy for my mental health. And I thought, hey, maybe I could help people get connected to whiskey and whiskey do the rest of the job and get them connected to others like it had for me. Mm-hmm. And so we started this podcast, but we need forums where you can interact with each other positively. And there was some negativity outline and online and some of those other forums. And we decided, let's create a forum that doesn't have that negativity. So we created Bourbon Real Talk Community, mm-hmm. which is a free Facebook-based whiskey enthusiast community. Go join right now. Lots of great things going on inside there. And, you know, we also learned while we were thinking about, like, do we want to put in the effort to create a positive space, that if there are people online that can show hate to strangers, there's nothing online that keeps us from showing love to strangers. Mm-hmm. And that's why we end every episode the same way. And that's this. If you woke up this morning and you're unsure whether or not anyone loved you, just know that we love you. We'll see you next time on Bourbon Real Talk. Cheers.